Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:08 p.m. Today is Pacific Standard Time, and today is November 5th. Well, when we look at the S&P, it was up in very slightly in here today, about 0.5%. But the bigger picture is revealed on the weekly chart, where we can see that it is testing the region of the trend mean, and that trend mean has turned downwards. So now the big question is whether this rather extreme reaction that we've seen in October is a type 2 massive reaction against the prevailing trend. I think that's really quite clear. But it was a failed upside break. The dynamic of the failure was larger than the dynamic of the breakout. It has come right back down and tested the lower side of the underlying range. Now the big question is whether we're going to see a distribution below the trend mean, or whether we're going to see it push back above the trend mean, and that's a big question. There are two potential outcomes. The first is that it could, or I guess two potential bullish outcomes, that it could push right back above the trend mean over the course of this week following the midterm elections tomorrow. Or we could see some pullback and it could put in a higher reaction low and then later push back above the trend mean. So those are two potential bullish outcomes. Of course, the bearish outcome is that it fail at this level and then push on to new lows. Well, therefore, this is a rather important, I think, level and region where people are starting to ask questions, what's happening next? And of course, what happens in terms of the midterm elections is going to have an impact on that conclusion. The Nasdaq is also at a rather important Rubicon level. It is still trading below that 7,000 level, and it has also been subject to where some of the most selling pressure has taken place, but it was off its lows in here today. If we look at the biggest movers in here, well, we can see on the right-hand side that Activision, Apple, Ctrip, Applied Materials, Skyworks, these are all technology companies that had been doing rather well until this pullback. Then on the other side of the ledger, you have Kraft Heinz, PepsiCo, that are the leading advancers, and you have also got Intel and Costco, Mondelez International, Biogen, which had not been doing particularly well until this point. Kraft Heinz, for example, has been one of the, well, that I need to type a little bit more effectively, but Kraft Heinz, for example, has been one of the shares that's been falling most over the course of the last 2 years, and it has given up almost 50% of its value since the peak that we saw back in early 2017. So, certainly, what we're also starting to see here are shares that are getting increasingly are getting increasing activity because they've had such large declines. So, for example, Newell Brands has been trending lower for more than a year already, and then it has been one of the leading advancers over the course of the last while. Hanes Brands has been trending lower for 4 years. It was in positive territory in here today, but it really has a lot of work to do to really break this downtrend. But what we're also starting to see is that some noted value investors are exiting the market. They're closing their funds, throwing in the towel, and saying they've had enough. And these value type companies, these companies that have been falling for a significant amount of time, that have got rather attractive valuations, are being deserted by these value funds. Finally, they're throwing in the towel. Well, if value is the I guess is the strategy that works best at the lows after an enormous decline, then lots of companies are undervalued relative to their intrinsic value, and that's when a value proposition is really does shine, and it helps to highlight some of those undervaluations, and that's then when you start getting rebounds. Well, because they're so undervalued, then you get very big advances, and that's where you tend to get some of the best performance from a value strategy. But as the trend progresses and you move out of disbelief and into acceptance and eventually euphoria, well, it's that The acceptance phase is where you start to get the buy and hold strategy starting to come into the fore. That trading the market doesn't work particularly effectively, and just holding on and sitting out the occasional pullback, well, then that is rewarded by higher highs, and then you tend to get some faith that the market will continue to reward you for fidelity. Then, when you get to a more accelerated phase, well, momentum is what takes place because people have more faith in the market, then, and that has continually been rewarded. Momentum strategies really then start to outperform because people look at buy and hold and they say, well, golly, that's been working. Well, there is no strategy that can't be made better with leverage. So then, therefore, let's beef this thing up. So then, momentum starts to really do much better. Well, it's when momentum is doing better that value investors, they go, well, obviously I'm looking at my cyclically adjusted PE, and then this is one of the most overvalued periods in history. I've got to exit here, and they tend to exit early. And so that's what we're seeing right now. Well, they exit early, then there's the potential that the market can continue to rally. Well, that's obviously a potential outcome. So we have to be at least prepared for the potential that this is just a medium-term correction, that it did look like it was going to be on the shorter side of the potential range of outcomes for the market, because we did have the S&P and the Nasdaq and the Russell and the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index all pushing on to new high ground. They've all subsequently pulled back. Interest rate sensitive sectors are underperforming. So, for example, when we look at the Russell 2000, it has certainly outperformed over the course of the last decade, but it is underperforming right now. But it is unwinding the short-term oversold condition. The big question is whether it is going to be able to put in a higher reaction low and push back above the trend mean. And well, if it can do that, well, that will be an incredibly impressive resumption of a medium-term advance. But this is a significant trend inconsistency. It really does suggest that we are in the latter stages of this bull market, that there is significant rotation underway right now, and that rotation is going into what, on the face of it, are rather defensive sectors. Coca-Cola was doing rather well last week, and therefore, and it is now at a new all-time high. Well, it's a little bit overbought in the short term, but there aren't that many shares that are overbought in the short term that are also at new highs in here right now. Verizon, which has been ranging for 5 years, has broken upwards out of that range over the course of the last 3 weeks. But again, these are companies that their primary characteristic from the perspective of fundamental analysts is the reliability of their cash flows, that they have this reliability factor, and they've been ranging for significant amounts of time, that they're becoming more attractive right now, and they are turning to positions of outperformance. Well, this is also representative of the latter stages of a bull market, where you do get the highly defensive sectors moving to becoming more attractive because the highly leveraged sectors are becoming less attractive. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Well, now the big question is whether this bull market that has been underway since 2009 is going to climax in an acceleration higher. That's certainly a potential outcome. And I think we're going to have an answer for that over the course of the next few weeks, because if the S&P 500 can sustain a move back above the trend mean, well, then we're still in a medium-term bull market environment, and that this has been nothing more than a medium-term correction. If that's the case, then considering where we are in terms of the cycle, there is the potential that there is a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, that government bond yields are rising, and how do you protect yourself against that underperformance of one of the most stable asset classes there is? Well, you could buy shares. But the kinds of shares that you buy are going to be those that offer floating rate bond characteristics, and that means those that have got lengthy records of increasing their dividends. So it's not simply that they're defensive, but that they are one of the best hedges available to rising government bond yields. And that's an important characteristic. It also is going to put pressure on other companies to follow that kind of metric. And technology companies are very cash rich. Well, Apple is one of those companies, and it is likely to announce another share buyback once we get through the earnings season. The share is now back testing the region of the trend mean. It bounced in here today from above or from the $200 area, and $200 represents a rather a large big psychological level. When people think about where is it going to pull back to, well, the first number that is going to pop into people's heads is probably going to be $200. So now the question is, how much is it going to rally from here? Of course, we're still talking about the largest share in the world. So how Amazon, excuse me, how Apple does is obviously going to have an impact, and then Amazon has also pulled back to the region of its trend mean. In fact, it pulled back below it, and that's the first time it's done that since early 2016. Well, everybody knows what happened the last time that it pulled back to the trend mean, and or indeed below it, that it is capable of rallying in an emphatic fashion. Well, that's what people are expecting. If anyone is buying Amazon in here today at $1,627, well, what they're anticipating is that it is going to rebound in an incredibly emphatic fashion and surge through that $2,000 area. Well, considering just how much the share accelerated higher, doubling from the end of 2017 to the peak that we saw in August, September, well, that may be a vain hope that we clearly have evidence here that there was something of a mania starting to evolve in terms of Amazon's share price, considering that it has done so spectacularly well, doubling in the 2 years to the peak in the middle of 2017, doubling in less than a year subsequently. That's a significant acceleration in the pace of the advance, but nonetheless, people are continuing to bet that it is going to continue to put in those ki that kind of performance. So that is the big question. That's the bullish argument. The bearish argument, of course, is that an acceleration is a trend ending, and this has been the largest pullback we've seen in the history of the share. Not perhaps in terms of the percentage moves, but certainly in terms of the nominal price move. So on a percentage move basis, the pullback that we saw in early 2016 was on par with what we've seen recently. But it's absolutely imperative in terms of the consistency of this trend that Amazon hold the recent low. And therefore, this is also an important Rubicon for this share. Well, we're definitely getting rotation going on right now, that there is certainly appetite for investors to capture some insurance against the potential that we're going to get a higher bond yield environment. Now, when we look at the rest of the world, well, Europe has this question about what to do with Italy. And the stock market today was relatively quiet. There is a short-term oversold condition, but there is also a very clear range evident on that Euro Stoxx index. When we look at, for example, Germany, well, the DAX index has got a very similar characteristic. Now, it was in negative territory in here today, but this is the much bigger question is whether it is going to be able to push back above that 12,000 level. Well, one thing that's worth bearing in mind that a number of the automotive companies that represent what most people identify as the German industry are not performing particularly well. Then you also have Wirecard. Well, Wirecard is one of the big fintech success stories within Europe, and it is pulling back to the region of the trend mean. This is a chart pattern that is eerily similar to Amazon. Therefore, it has got exactly the same characteristics here. It absolutely needs to rally from this level, and it has grown to be one of the biggest shares in Germany. So, this is, I think, an important arbiter of when we look at Europe, that there are these technology companies that have done exceedingly well in Europe, despite the fact they have not gained the same international exposure as some of the US companies. Then, when we look at what's going on in Italy, well, there are divisions within the coalition government. One thing we know from history is that Italy does not have a great record of lengthy administrations. So it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that the hodgepodge left extreme and right extreme coalition that you have in Italy right now is going to last its full term. Well, the FTSE MIB index is really quite overextended in the short term relative to the trend mean, but the more important fact is that it has failed to sustain the move above 24,000, and the lower side of the range is somewhere between 16 and 12,000, and that would suggest that it's only halfway through a decline. And really, a sustained move above the trend mean is going to be required to really question the supply-dominated environment. But when we then look at what's going on in the UK, well, the pound was a little bit steadier in here today, and it is back above that 130 area. And of course, that's against the dollar, where there has been this range forming below the trend mean now for the last 4 months. Well, the advance put in between late 2016 and early 2017 was clearly broken by that move below the trend mean, and the trend mean is trending lower. So it's really going to have to sustain a move above the 132 area to question the supply-dominated environment. But when we look at the pound versus the euro, well, we get a slightly different scenario here because it has been putting in support for 2 years already, and it is coming back up towards the upper side of the range that's persisted for a year. I continue to think that the balance of probabilities is that there is going to be a deal on Brexit, and that it's probably not going to be what people thought they were voting for, but it is going to be very strongly pushed by the A UK administration because they've spent so much time negotiating it. And it's probably going to result in the UK staying closer to Europe than people really thought they were voting for. Well, that's likely to be bullish for the pound. But if the pound goes up, well, we also know that part of the reason why the FTSE 100 was able to sustain the move up above the 7,000 level is because of the weakness of the currency. So it needs to hold that 7,000 level, considering that 7,000 represents the upper side of that underlying 16-year range. If it can continue to hold that 7,000 area, well, then this is a first step above the base, and the UK stock market is likely back in a secular bull market environment. It's still too early to draw that conclusion for Europe. If we look at the Europe Stoxx index, well, then it has been ranging below 400 for the last 18 years, and there is little sign just yet that it is going to be capable of sustaining a move above that level. The Chinese market was a little bit softer in here today, less so on the A-share index than we saw on, for example, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. We do have short-term oversold conditions, and there is certainly the potential here that we're going to see an additional rally to unwind that overextension relative to the trend mean. The sector that is getting the clearest evidence of support from the government is the large listed banks, but of course that's not where the problem resides, and the widening of the number of systemically important banks over the course of the last month also highlights the appetite within the administration in China to allow more defaults. So that does represent a risk in China. We simply do not know what the natural number of defaults within the economy is, because until quite recently there haven't been any allowed. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, well, we've had a substantial re-rating going on within the financial sector, but the Nifty index has bounced from this 10,000 area. Now, it's another index that is below the trend mean, and it really does need to hold that 10,000 level if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. Well, then, when we look at where the epicenter of the risk has been, it's been in companies like Yes Bank, but even there, we're seeing that the accelerated decline that has we've also we've seen an accelerated decline, which is a trend ending. We now have a higher reaction low, so we have something to base the conclusion that there is support building going on. And if that is where the worst performing banks are starting to put in some support, well, then the better performing banks are helping to push on to new recovery highs for the Bombay Banks Index. Well, it's now testing the region of the trend mean, and the banks index has historically been a leader for the wider market. So if the Bombay Banks Index can push back above the trend mean, that would be really quite bullish for the Indian market. Now, when we look at some of the currency markets, well, the rupee was a little bit softer in here today following a significant strengthening on Friday. And it still remains a reasonably consistent downtrend. And it's looking increasingly likely that the renminbi is going to weaken further from here. Considering the fact that the yield on the 10-year in China is 3.5%, 5.3%, and the yield on the 10-year treasury is 3.19%. Well, what that says to me at least is I'd rather own treasuries because that's a much more secure yield. It's suggesting that there's no risk at all in China, but that's certainly not the case. Now, that's I think something that is probably likely to weigh on the renminbi over the course of the next few months. Then, when we take a look at what's going on in Australia. I've posted an article today discussing the changes to the franking system and how that's likely to impact pensioners. Well, the ASX 200 has rallied to unwind the very short-term oversold condition. Now the question is whether it's going to put in a higher reaction low. This is the largest pullback we've seen in a while. It's not a particularly consistent trend, so that's something that we have to bear in mind, but in order to truly demonstrate that we've got a return to demand dominance, it needs to push back above the trend mean and, at the very minimum, hold its recent low on a pullback. It's the resources sector that continues to outperform here in the Australian market, and if we go back and look at the FTSE 350 mining index. Well, that's also now steadying from that region of the 15,000 area, and it's been helped along by companies like BHP Billiton that are more interested now in paying dividends than spending a great deal of money on expansion. Well, that's also the case for a number of the large energy companies. So BP is right in the region of its trend mean, and Royal Dutch Shell is also in the region of its trend mean and that sequence of higher reaction lows. Well, they're obviously influenced by the oil price, but these companies are not spending a great deal of money on additional new supply, and they are reaping the benefits from what is still a reasonably high price for oil. Well, oil prices were not able to hold an initial rally in here today. They're right in the region of the trend mean. This is a natural area where people might anticipate that support should be starting to come back in. We've had certainly a loss of uptrend consistency. This is that the breakout did not go quite as far as it could have, or it should have if it was still a consistent advance. And then the subsequent pullback has been larger than anything we've seen since 2017. So what that I think is holding out the prospect of is a much choppier environment generally. But if we get a choppier environment in oil prices, well, then that means that they're not surging higher in the same way that they were doing in 2007 and 2008. That kind of surging move in oil prices is something that can lead to a recession, considering the tax that it imposes on consumers. But where we are starting to see some activity is in the natural gas markets. And natural gas today was breaking up and out of its most recent range. It's been ranging in a reasonably volatile manner below the $4 area for nearly 2 years now, but there is a lack of natural gas. There hasn't been nearly enough put into storage to cater to any kind of weather disruptions for this winter, and that suggests that we are going to have more volatile trading in the natural gas markets. Lumber prices were limit up 2 days in a row last week, and that is the first upward dynamic that we've seen in months. It's also from the region of that 300 cent level. Well, we've seen prices halve since the accelerated peak that was put in earlier this year, and now there is a steep over extension relative to the trend mean, so there is, I think, ample potential here for a reversionary rally. Then, when we look at what's going on in the coffee market, well, we've had a pretty impressive rebound from that 100 cent level. It has unwound all of the overextension relative to the trend mean, and now we're getting the first consolidation, which is mostly happening above the trend mean. Well, if it can continue to hold this move above the trend mean, well, we would have to conclude that the medium-term downtrend is over, and that the most likely scenario, or the path of least resistance, is for additional upside. So I think the big message to take away from everything that's happening in markets is that we're certainly in a medium-term correction. There is definitely a rotation going on. There is certainly some hedging going on in terms of exposure to interest rates. The dollar's rally has paused for a little bit. Gold prices continue to hold their move above this range that was put in between, well, mostly in September and early October. And that is also representative of some demand coming through for, I think, safe haven assets, or assets that have got proven value in times of stress. Well, that's obviously representative of some fear that has crept into the market. And what I find particularly interesting is that my inbox is currently flooded with very bearish prognostications. Well, that's obviously something that we have to be aware of, that there are a lot of people positioned for a decline. It also highlights the fact that there is scope, therefore, for a short covering rally. The extent to which that occurs, how much I think repairing of the damage that's been done to uptrends that takes place, that's likely to inform us as to how long this medium-term correction is going to last. But perhaps the bigger point is that of all the things that we look at for a clue to the next recession, there's none of them are really flashing red. So that suggests that we are at least ranging here, potentially that this is a pause and that we could have additional upside, but of course it could also be a top. And because we have that argument, and it's a very polarizing argument, well, we're likely to have more volatility, and it also tells us that supply and demand have come back into relative balance after a period where we had a very clear time of imbalance, with or at least a demand-dominated environment all the way through 2017. So the other point, of course, is that we are entering the more seasonally attractive period of time, that the big declines that often occur in October set up Santa Claus rallies, and then the I think once we get through the midterm elections, we'll have better ideas about exactly where we are in terms of this I think big macro environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.